Am I on? No?
Put you on.
On the top here? How about? I don't know what the heck I'm doing. Can you guys hear me? Okay, there you go. All right. Okay, let me ask you again. How you doing?
Good, good.
Man, I felt so embarrassed last night. I was so looking forward to the fights. I love to watch those things. And I went downstairs, told Micah, I said, I know that, you know, I'm thinking the fights are going to be late. So it's like, I'm going to take a quick power nap for about 20 minutes. I even set an alarm on my phone for like 20 minutes. I fell asleep about 8. I woke up at 4 in the morning. And I was like, what happened? I had no idea. I think it's all the whiskey. That always puts me out, you know. Do you guys find that to be true in your own lives? It's all right, we can be honest to church. Well, I'm going to talk to you tonight about this series that I wrote. I wrote this series especially for this trip. I was using 1 Samuel 17 as kind of like a tool to teach some of the people in our church how to study the Bible, and specifically how to study the Bible using a narrative from the Old Testament. And so we were going through this, and I was praying and praying and praying about what to preach. And I prayed for a long time about whether or not to even come. And I felt bad because I've told other churches, I said, I can't come because we've got this ordination coming up, and we're trying to get Paul Waller, the guy I've been training for the last 6 years, trying to put him in place as the pastor. And so I was just like, it's just, you know, not a good time. Plus, I got to take, like, I don't even know how many tests, COVID tests, to see, you know, on both sides of the water. I've got to take, I took one or two when I was there. I've lost track, okay, of how many times I've had swabs up my nose. And then I got to take another one here before I leave. I've got to take another one when I arrive. And then 2 days later, I got to take another one. And then I got to quarantine for 10 days when I get back. And so with that on top of ordaining Paul, I told a couple of other people, I was like, you know, I won't be able to travel in the fall. And then Mike calls me and he's like, hey, you want to come preach? And I'm like, oh man. I've already told people I can't do it. And I love coming to this conference. And so I'm like, I'm going to look like a hypocrite some of these other places. And then we got all this stuff going on. But there was something in there, you know, where I was thinking, I don't know if I should just dismiss this too quick. And I said, I need to pray about this. Let's see what the Lord says. So I was praying. I was like telling him, maybe the restrictions will change. And we don't know, because they, at the time, they were thinking about canceling flights and all that. But God made it really clear, not only that I should come, I don't know what those other churches think of me being here. I just said, yeah, God wants me to come, so I came. But he also made it clear that I needed to preach this passage. It's 1 Samuel 17 is what we're going to talk about. And the series is entitled Killing Goliath, The Fight of Our Lives. And so I just want to talk to you about this. And before I do, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate being able to come here. I really do love this church. You guys have always stood with us in our ministry in London. And you guys have supported us. You guys have prayed for us. And you guys have had me come out here and to preach this conference several times. How many times has it been? I don't know, five or six times, which is such an ego boost for me. You know, I never get invited a second time. So to have me come out, you know, it's really an act of charity, and I really do appreciate it. And so I just want to say thank you so much for having me come. It's so wonderful to be able to stay with Mike and Becky. It really keeps you on your toes because they're so different, right? Mike and Becky, right? You know, Mike's personality is kind of like a, oh my gosh. You know? And Becky's personality, she's just so sweet, right? She's just so sweet. It's like she's never done anything wrong in her life. And so the whole time you're there, it's just a constant, oh my God, oh, that's so sweet. Oh, So sweet. It's just that back and forth the whole time. And so that's why I'm drinking downstairs. Because it really is, it's a ride. It's a great train. You got to get on it. And so I'm really thankful to be here, and thank you for having me come. And I do, I joke and stuff, but I do love hanging out with your pastor. He's so great. When I was FaceTiming you, my kids and my family, they were all listening. They were cracking up, and we were like just talking on the phone, on the FaceTime before. And they were like, he sounds crazier than you, Dad. And I said, he is. He is crazier than me. By a long shot. I've got a lot of work to do to catch up. And so it is always a blast being here, and it's a great time to be able to see you guys. And I just want you to know how thankful I am. Have I made that clear? Okay, let's jump into this, because I don't want to start this without you knowing how much I love you guys. So 1 Samuel 17, we're just going to look at the first couple of verses today. What time do I need to let you guys out? Huh? Did someone say now? That's hilarious. Okay, let's get the end here. We'll wrap it up. We'll just pray. Someone's got to get to lunch. That's fantastic. No, honestly, what time do you guys usually shut it down? We don't. Okay. We're just going to look at the first three verses this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Succoth, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Succoth and Azekah in Ephesidim-Memim." That's a hard word to say. "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched in the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them." So there's one valley. This is just kind of how this whole chapter, now you know what this chapter is about. This chapter is the famous story between David and Goliath. But the way this chapter starts, the way the whole thing begins, it begins with one valley, and you have an army on either side. In fact, on either side, you really have three things represented on either side of this valley. First of all, you have two teams, or two armies. I like to say teams. I love the sports idea there. But there's two armies, right? And that's the army represents kind of who you fight with or who you fight alongside, right? But you also have two sides. There's two sides to this argument. There always is. You know, we always say that. There's always two sides to every story, you know. Didn't you hate it when your mom would say that? You would try to tell them what your side was, and then you've got your side. Or when you're fighting with your wife, there's always two sides of the story. There's always, it always takes two to dance. We'd say that kind of stuff all the time. Well, there's always two sides, not just two armies, but there's two sides to this disagreement. That is what you fight for. Not just who you fight among, but what are you fighting for? What are the issues involved? But there's always, you see there's two positions, right? They're each on their own mountain. This is where you fight from. So you see these three things represented in these first three verses. You know, who you're fighting with, what you're fighting for, and where you're fighting from, right? That's what team you're on, what the sides are, and what the positions are. What we see in the first three verses is really the entire record of the Bible in a microcosm. The entire Bible is a historical record of the war that is waged between God and Satan. That's really what the whole Bible is about. That's the overall story. That story of the kingdom is a story about a war that is being waged between God and Satan. Those kind of represent the two sides of this war. You have God, which is a trinity, obviously, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But you also have Satan's side, and he has a counterfeit trinity. They have Satan, of course, and the flesh, and the world. And heaven and earth are the valley in between these two sides where the battle is fought. You guys following with me? Okay, this is what is happening in the world. That's really why I want to talk about this as kind of a setup for what we're going to talk about in the week tonight, because I think sometimes we lose track of the fight that we're in. I think we lose track of what is really going on in the world. This is the fight, and that's really what I want to help you see today, is I want you to kind of remember what battle we're really involved in, but I also want to try to help you for you to see what side you're on. Maybe you don't know which side you're on. Maybe you think you know, but I really want to help you to see this. That's what the whole thing is about this battle. In Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and they spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." That is what is happening in the world. What is happening in the world is not what you see on television. It's not what you think is happening necessarily emotionally within your personal relationships. What is happening in the world is there is a war that's being waged between God and Satan. And heaven and earth is the valley in between those two sides where this battle is being waged. There's only two sides in this war. In fact, whenever you look through this story, I'm amazed that you got tons of twos all over the place. There's two of this, two of this, two of this. You know, not just these. And it kind of sets it up that way at the very first three verses. But there's two of everything. Obviously, there's two sides and there's two positions, right? Two armies. You have two champions in the story, right? And I went through and I found about 16 of these. Right, there's two different types of strength that's represented, two different types of weapons. There's also two kings in the story, you know, because David's been anointed the king already in the chapters before that, and yet Saul is still sitting on the throne. There's two kings. There's two deaths. Not only does he strike him in the head, but he also chops off his head. There's two outcomes to the proposal that Goliath makes. And it just goes through, and there's just two of this, 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 all the way through the story, which is significant because in biblical numerology, the number two is the number of division. And there's nothing that draws the dividing line in people's lives and in the world like a war. This is what separates people. It divides people. That's what Christ says. He says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace." He says, "I came to bring a sword, and my position is going to cause people to divide from their own families," Christ says. It causes division, which is weird because you think that God just wants all of us to like love and rub each other, right? He just thinks that we all want to be unified, and that's not what God wants. The very first time that you see that happening in the Bible, whenever they gathered and the whole world was unified in Babel and one language, I mean, God went down and put a stop to it and scattered them all, divided everybody. He doesn't necessarily want all of us just to get along. What he wants is for you to be on the right side of this battle. He wants you to be on the right side. That's really what this entire chapter is about. It's about showing you the dividing lines of this battle and really helping you to see what side you're on. So that's what I want to help you see. And as we look at these kind of three things, you know, what side you're on, what team you're on, what position you stand on, there's a couple things I want to help you to understand first. One is you may be thinking, well, I don't really know which side I'm on. You might be thinking, well, I can kind of see both sides, because there's really only two teams, right? There's God's team and then there's Satan's team. And you may be thinking, I don't really know for sure which side I'm on. And so I just want to tell you up front that when it comes to those kind of things, that the tie always goes to Satan, right? Tie always goes to Satan. If you don't know which side you're on, then you're on his. That's what Jesus said. If you're not for me, then you are what? Against me. My point in trying to tell you this is that in this particular fight, there's no neutrality. There's no neutrality. I think it was the Treaty of Paris back in about 1812. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Back in about 1812, the Paris Treaty, where Switzerland had this writ that declared that they were neutral in all battles. And so from that point on, they took a position of neutrality and said, we are not going to take any particular side or offer aid to any particular side. We want to stay neutral. And there's other countries that have tried to do that or try to take those positions. And the laws, there's certain rules to neutrality. And a lot of those times, those rules have come into question, right? Like Sweden during World War II, they said that they were neutral, but yet they offered up kind of counterintelligence, you know, and even training for Norwegian men during that time. Portugal said that they were going to take a position of non-alignment, and yet they offered off-sea naval bases to that. I think it was Spain that even offered some of their military, even though they said that they were neutral. And there's a lot of Christians, I think, that wonder which side they're on. The only thing I really want you to understand about that is that in this battle, there is no such thing as a spiritual Switzerland. There's no such thing. There's no place where you can say, well, you know what? I don't really want to be on either side. That is not an option that has been left to us. There are only two sides in the universe, and you are on one of them. Now, the other thing I want you to see about this is that I'm not asking you to pick a side today. That's not what I'm asking you to do. What I'm asking you to do is really to, I want you to see through what the Bible says, I want you to see the side that you're already on, because you're already on one of them, right? It was C.S. Lewis that talked about that in his book, The Screwtape Letters. He was saying that, he goes, whenever people say, you know, you hear people say this, whenever we go out on the street and we'll witness to people and they'll say, well, if God is so powerful, why doesn't he step in and do something about all this stuff we see in the world? You ever heard anybody say that? And C.S. Lewis, he kind of laughed at that. At least it sounds like he's laughing in the passage. And he says, I wonder if people, when they ask God to get involved directly, if they really understand what they're asking. Because they said he's definitely going to intrude, for sure. There's going to come a time, but they said, but whenever he does that, that's the end of the world. Well, when the author walks on the stage, he says, that's the end of the play. He says, that is not the time when you will be choosing sides, whenever you see the entire material universe melting down around you and something that you've never conceived in your mind is crashing in, something that would be beautiful to some and terrifying to others. He says that will not be the time for choosing. It's ridiculous to say that you're going to lay down when it has become impossible to stand up. That's not the time for choosing. That will be the time that you will really see what side you were always on. But now, Lewis says, now today, now God in his mercy he's withheld that so that we have time to get on the right side. We do have the option to switch sides. And now is the time that we do that. But I really want us to see what side that we're actually on. Another thing that I want you to understand about these sides is that we're not, when you're trying to figure out what side you're on, we're not looking for 100% compliance. Nobody is 100% compliant to anything that they do, right? All you have to do is just look at the way that I eat this week. I am currently on a diet. It's a joke, right? Because if you were just to observe from the outside, you would think, well, this guy's diet, if I'm just like some of those people in the wild observing the antelope, you know, if you're just watching me, like how I graze, and you would say, this guy's diet obviously includes like salad and Snickers. I don't know what kind of diet that is. It includes both of those, if you're just to observe. Nobody has 100% compliance to any particular position that you hold, right? Yeah, so that's not, I mean, we know that behavior is a good measure in some ways, right? But it can also be misused. Here's a good behavioral kind of measure. Whenever you're trying to ask, what side am I on? Because your behavior matters, but it can be a misleading measure if you're looking for 100% compliance. Here's a good behavioral measure, is to say, what is the direction of my affection? Generally speaking, what is the direction of my affection in my life? The affections of my heart, do they run toward God or do they run against Him? Because your behavior does make a difference. It does matter. But you're never going to find 100% compliance on either side, right? Christians do bad things. Lost people do good things. You're never going to find 100% compliance. But what is the overall direction of your affection? Does it run against God or does it run for Him? Does it run toward Him? Does it run against Him? What is the overall direction of your affection? Okay, last little note before we look at these sides is that we're also not talking about your political affiliations. When we talk about this battle, we're not talking about your politics. The battle that you see, especially, you know, it's a bit ethnocentric, the battle that you see here in the United States between the Democrats and the Republicans, and it gets pretty heated, doesn't it? And it's like, we like to watch it sometimes because it really makes for good entertainment when you're watching these things that are happening on the news. But the battle between the Democrats and the Republicans, that is not the battle that you see in the Bible. That's not the battle between God and Satan. That's a different battle altogether. Our job as Christians is not to spread freedom and democracy throughout the world along with the Judeo-Christian ethic. That's not the battle of the church. The battle of the church is not to save America and to save democracy. Now, do I think you should vote? Absolutely. Do I think you should be a good citizen? Absolutely. Do I think that you should vote and pray for your leaders? Absolutely. I think you should pray that they are saved, because we want them to go to heaven. We should love them. We should respect them. I don't care what position they hold or what side they're on. We should love them and respect them and pray for them. And we should make fun of them mercilessly, because that's what a good citizen does. The moment that you stop laughing about this stuff, then you totally lose perspective. That's what Will Rogers said. You have to be able to laugh at this stuff, but you should be respectful and you should love these guys. But don't get that battle confused with the battle that we're in the universe. That's not the battle. This battle that we're in is not the vaxxers and the anti-vaxxers. That's not the battle that we're in. That's just really good entertainment on TV, is really what that is. You need to make sure that you're fighting the right battle. If your battle is to try to make sure that the Republicans win, you know, well, good luck with that, but God's not going to, you know how long we're going to talk about that in heaven? Like never. When we get to heaven, God's not going to ask you about it. Hey, how'd the election go? He's not going to ask you about that. Right now in heaven, they're probably not talking about that. They're not thinking, man, Trump really got screwed in the election, didn't he? They're not talking about that. They're not saying, man, that Biden, boy, is he sharp. I promise you nobody is saying that. So just understand the battle that we're in, right? And I'm not telling you to pull for one side or the other. I'm not trying to tell you to vote for one side or the other. I respect your freedom to hold whatever position you want. I do, and I would love you no matter who you voted for or what position you hold. I would love you just the same. You know why? Because that's not the battle I'm fighting. When I go over to the United States, am I trying to make Republicans? No. And that's a good thing, because I lose over there, right? I'm not trying to make Republicans. I'm not trying to make Democrats. I'm not trying to make conservatives. I'm not trying to make liberals. I'm trying to make believers. Yeah. I'm trying to win people to Jesus Christ and make disciples, because Jesus is coming back really soon, and the rapture is going to happen really soon, and we're trying to get as many people into Christ as we can before he takes us away. So we have to be really careful, okay, when we think about what side we're on, and we try to analyze this, what side we're on. You just need to remember, okay, that there is, one, no neutrality. Can't be neutral. You're in one camp or the other. You're on one side or the other. You're not going to have 100% compliance, so don't necessarily use that as your measure for what you are. And it's not about your politics. So are we clear on that? Right? Okay, so when we think about these, we have these three sides, or these three things that it pictures in this passage, the two teams, the two sides, and the two positions. We have those in our life in the battle that we hold. The two teams, obviously, are God's army and Satan's army, right? Those are the two armies that you see pictured here in this with the Philistines and the Israelites. So we know that we have at least two armies, well, just only two armies, and you have to be in one of those. Number two is there's two sides. There's two sides to this issue. The first one, the two armies, is who you're fighting with, right? Who are you fighting with? The second one is what are you fighting for? So when you think about the side that we're on, you think about what it is we're fighting for. What we fight for as believers is we are fighting for righteousness. That is what we are fighting for. Amen? Yeah. What the world is fighting for is they are fighting for wickedness and sin. What Satan's army is fighting for is they are fighting for sin and wickedness. What we are fighting for is righteousness. That's what Paul tells Timothy, as he tells him, he says, what you want to go after, he says, you want to flee all of these youthful lusts, and you want to flee all these things, and you want to follow hard after righteousness. And he kind of clarifies what that is, because he says it's righteousness and godliness, right, and meekness and patience. He says, these are the things that you want to follow hard after. Okay, just real quick, as I pause every once in a while just to ask you, do you know what side you're on yet? Do you know what army you're in? Do you know, is this what you're fighting for in your life? Okay, just to clarify, I really want to help you to see what side you're on, right? Because a lot of times we can tend to think, well, I can kind of see, no, there's no neutrality here. There's no neutrality. You're either with him or you're for him. Okay, just to clarify that, you remember when Jesus talked about the day in which we live, he talked about the Laodicean and church in Revelation chapter 3. Do you remember what he said about them? This church that represents an apostate church, a church that has a closed door where Jesus is on the outside. They're still having church, but Jesus is on the outside. Are you following with me? And he says to them, he says, listen, you guys, the problem with you is that you are neither hot nor cold, right? They're neither one. He says, I wish that you were one or the other, but you are neither hot nor cold, which means that they are lukewarm. So they're kind of both, and they're also neither one. And he says, as a result, God, he says, I want to spew you out of my mouth. You see God's opinion on neutrality? That's how God feels about neutrality. You can't be both, and you can't be neither. That is not an option for us. You are in one or one camp or the other one. Okay, so those are the two sides and the two teams, right? And we are fighting for righteousness, and they are fighting for wickedness. But we need to clarify. I told you in Timothy, he says, I want you to follow after righteousness, which is godliness and patience and meekness. These are the things that we're chasing after in our life. These are the things that we're supposed to be making a plan to chase after. But we have a problem today because we have been lured away by the cult of productivity. And this productivity for us in the 21st century has become the new righteousness. I stepped on that. I hope that's not bad. That's become the new righteousness for us. We're not so worried about holiness, right? But we are worried about our health. Man, the goal today is, man, when you're watching your Instagram feed or you're watching whatever feed that you're dialed into, whatever you're watching, man, the thing that people are worried about today is they want to get fit. They want to make sure that they get the belly off. And I would love to lose the belly. It'd be great. I think my wife would find me so much more attractive if I could lose this thing, right? But that's the goal today, isn't it? We want to make sure that we get the body fat down. We want to make sure that we're eating healthy. We want to make sure that we're taking the right supplements. We want to do yoga, and we want to start a side hustle. We want to write a book. We want to read books. We want to read the top 100 books. We want to start a podcast. We want to start a blog. We want to start a business, and we want to do all of this, like, next week, right? And we want to learn a language. We want to do yoga. No, not really. Nobody wants to do yoga because those people are freaking weird, okay? But we want to do all of this stuff, don't we? We want to be excellent time managers. We want to figure out how that we can maximize our time so that we can get the most stuff done. We want to see how much stuff we can fit on our to-do list and be able to get as much stuff done as possible. But that's not enough because we want to be able to do all this and still be stress-free. We have to be stress-free, so we got to be mindful, and we've got to meditate, and we've got to breathe. People telling me to breathe all the time. We got all this stuff that we want to do. Do you want to know of all those things? Do you want to know those things that you really need to do? None of them. You don't really need to do any of those things. You don't really need to read the top 100 books. Now, you could if you wanted to, but does God care? He doesn't care if you do that. Now, you could get skinny if you wanted to, but do you think God cares if you're skinny or fat? Because he doesn't. He doesn't care if you're skinny or fat. He doesn't care if you have abs. He doesn't care if you do yoga. Well, he might care if you do yoga because, you know, that's of the devil, right? That's a joke. But so we have all this stuff that we want to do. And the problem with that is that there's nothing necessarily wrong with doing those things in particular. I do some of those things. I try to work out. I have a blog, you know. I got a video thing on YouTube. I do some of those things. There's not anything necessarily wrong with reading a bunch of books. I'm pro reading. Okay, I'm pro supplements. Be healthy. Okay, there's nothing necessarily wrong. The problem is when that stuff replaces our righteousness. That becomes what we chase after in our day, and it's also what makes us feel guilty when we fall short. That becomes kind of the new measure, which is why today people are not looking for pastors, they're looking for life coaches, because this is really what we're chasing after. Are these things. And the problem with that is we lose track of what we're really fighting over. And look what it does in our lives. We have no trouble hating and despising our brother. We have no trouble looking at porn on the internet. Some of the latest studies show that there are literally thousands of views of videos every single minute. Thousands and thousands of views of pornography by both men and women every single minute. One of the biggest industries in the United States. If Christians just stopped watching porn, just the Christians stopped watching porn, do you have any idea how it would devastate the American economy? It would devastate the United States economy. That's how big of an industry that this is. But we have no trouble doing that because this morning I drank a kale shake and I got all the things on my to-do list done. So I'm doing good. And we think that because I ran an Ironman race and I started a side hustle and I did both of these at the same time. I've really got my life together and I've got my life on track. Well, we have no problem backbiting our pastor or our brother. Have no trouble doing that. But that's okay because, man, I'm down 10 pounds. We have a completely skewed idea of what a together life looks like. Because we misunderstand the battle that we're in. The battle that we're in is not one for being productive. It's not about the stuff that you can produce. It's not about how many books you read or what movies you like or what music you like or how many side hustles you can produce or how many blogs or podcasts or whatever. I think all of us can look out of that stuff, man, and just think, okay, that stuff is fine, I guess, but that's not the battle. What we are fighting for as believers, we are fighting for righteousness. Hebrews chapter 1 says, your kingdom, O Lord, is one of righteousness. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first his kingdom and first at his kingdom and what? And his righteousness. That is what we are fighting for. Do you know what side you're on yet? That's the side that we're fighting for, because we are fighting not only for righteousness, we are fighting against sin. And that means that we hate sin. That's what that means. We hate sin in other people's lives. We hate sin in our lives. We hate sin in our society. We hate sin, but we love people and we're compassionate, because that's what righteous people do. We love people, we're compassionate, we want to forgive one another, but man, we want to see sin out of our lives. We want to see sin out of our church. We want to see sin gone, don't we? That's what we want. We hate sin and we love righteousness. Just make sure that you're fulfilling the right type of righteousness in your life. What side are you fighting for? Are you fighting the world side? Because this idea of productivity, man, that's all about works. It's all about, are you ready? It's about self-righteousness. That's how you feel so good about yourself. And that's what the new righteousness today is all about. It's about you feeling self-righteous. Because look at all the stuff that I'm doing. And I just want you to know from me, listen, I love you, and I just want you to make a list of all the wonderful things that you've achieved. And I just want you to know that nobody gives a crap. Nobody cares. If you are living in sin and you're okay with sin in your life while you're doing all of this wonderful stuff, then it's worthless. It's worthless. We are here to fight for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that means, as he tells Timothy, that means if you follow hard after righteousness, that means that's godliness. That means you need to be like God. That's what we're fighting for. It's patience. That means you need to be patient, be enduring things. It's meekness. That means you need to be humble. Not filled with pride, but to be humble. These are the kind of things that we should be chasing hard after in our life. Do you know what side you're on yet? So not only are there two teams, and there's two sides, righteousness and sin. Again, there's no neutrality. You're either fighting for one or you're fighting for the other, right? That's what the psalmist says. He says, if you forsake the law, then you praise the wicked. There's only two sides. If you forsake the law, that means you are praising the wicked. But those that keep the law, they contend with them. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. But there's also two positions, right? There's also two positions. Now, in this story, you can see that they're both on a mountain, and they got a valley in between. These are the positions that they're fighting from. We have, in our battle, we have a position that we're fighting from. We have an army that we are a part of. We have our principles of what we're fighting for, but we also have a position from which we fight. Now, from the position from which we fight is this. We stand in Christ and we stand on the Bible. Now, that's the position that we fight from. We stand in Christ and on the Bible. That's the position that we fight from. Now, this position is a position of grace and truth. That's the position that we fight from. For us to be in Christ is a position of grace. The only reason why we can stand in this position in Christ is because of His grace. That's Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Having been saved by faith through Jesus Christ, he says that's how we have access into this grace wherein we stand. The position that we stand in is a position of grace. We are in Christ. That is the living word. But we also stand on the absolute truth of the written word, which is the Bible. That's the position from which we fight. Do you know what side you're on yet? Now, the world, as opposed to that, they stand, the position from which they fight from is in Adam. They are in Adam. That's the human position, right? They stand in Adam, and they stand on a position of relativism. A position of relativism or public opinion. Those are the two positions that we fight from. Do you understand why it is that it's so difficult to talk to people about these issues and never come to a conclusion? You want to know why? Because you're fighting from two totally different positions. Two totally different positions. We stand in Christ, which is a position of grace. That's what the Bible tells us. It's a position of grace and truth. All in John chapter 1. It says that the law came by Moses, but what came by Jesus Christ? Grace and truth. Grace and truth. That's what we want to stand on. That's the position from which we fight. We want to stand in Christ, and we want to stand on His Word, the absolute truth of God's Word. We don't want to stand on a position of relativism, do we? We don't want to stand on a position of just public opinion, because that's shifting sand, isn't it? That's going to change every single week. What we want to stand on is we want to stand on the absolute truth of God's Word. Do you know what side you're on yet? We want to stand in Christ on His Word. These are the only two positions that there are in the world. These are the only two. And you are on one of them. What I want to help you to see is, I want you to ask yourself, am I fighting, number one, am I fighting the right battle today? What battles are you fighting? Am I fighting the right one? Am I on the right side? Now, as I told you before, I'm not asking you to choose a side this morning. I'm asking you to decide or to be able to see through this evidence what side you're already on. But having said that, you do have the option to switch sides. You do have the option to switch sides. If you're here this morning and you're lost and you don't know Jesus Christ, well, then you do have the option to switch sides. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work of what He did on the cross and through His resurrection, then we know that He will take you from one mountaintop and He will take you to the other. He will change the position that you're on. Right now, you're in Adam. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in Adam all die, but in Christ all shall be what? Made alive. And we know according to Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, it says we give thanks to the Father, right? Because He has made us worthy to be inheritance, This is embarrassing. That's like discipleship lesson number one. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and has translated us, what, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son. That's what happens when you get saved. He takes you out of the kingdom of darkness, and He translates you to the kingdom of His dear Son. If you've never done that in your life, then today is the day that you need to do that. But maybe most of you are believers. And what's happened in your life is you've been living in this imaginary world of neutrality. You've been living in this imaginary Switzerland in your mind, where you're like kind of living with both feet in both camps, or one foot in one camp and one foot in the other. Maybe you're living in this imaginary world where you think like the Bible is cool, but most of the time you live your life according to public opinion. You live in this imaginary world where you like to come to church, but you still do your world thing. You have this imaginary opinion where you think that righteousness is a good thing, but most of the time what you are chasing after in your life is just being productive. Because at the end of the day, what you really want is you just want your life to mean something. Do you live in that imaginary world? Maybe you've chosen this imaginary world where you have actually found something to fight for, which is not the battle that we're supposed to fight. Maybe you've made politics the fight that you want to fight in your life. Maybe you've made some issue in your life the fight that you want to fight. We need to make sure that we're fighting the right fight. Are you fighting the right fight today? Or have you picked some fight of your own because it gives you validation? Have you chosen your own fight, or are you choosing to fight the fight that we see in the Bible? That's where I want to help you see today. It was the legendary Bob Dylan. You guys like Bob Dylan? Yeah. Bob Dylan's cool, man. He's got just such a weird voice. You're so thankful that he was successful because, man, with a voice like that, you know, he just, anyway. Bob Dylan was a legend. And he kind of had this kind of conversion experience in his life. And he wrote this song where he says, "You gotta serve somebody. You got to serve somebody." He says, it may be the Lord or it may be the devil, but you've got to serve somebody. That's my question today. Which team are you on? Which side are you on? Are you fighting for righteousness, or are you fighting for your own self-righteousness? Which side are you on? Are you standing in Christ upon the absolute truth of God's word? Or are you standing in that relativism of public opinion? It was Jesus Christ who said, man, anyone who will take my sayings, my words, and will build their life upon those words, he says, I will liken him to a wise man that builds his house upon a rock. That is what we want to build our life upon, because he says everything else is just sinking sand. Which side are you on today? If you're lost, today's the day for you to switch sides. If you're a believer, then you need to make sure that if you're fighting any other battles, if you're taking any other positions, if you're living in an imaginary world of neutrality, today is the day where you lay all that down and you say, you know what? I want to fight the fight that's in the Bible. Not the one that I've made up, that I've made up in my head. If you have some fight that you made up in your head, and you've convinced yourself that it's the most important fight, if there's one thing that we can't have today, right before the Lord comes back, is we can't have us being distracted and having our mind divided, because a man that is divided, a double-minded man, is unstable in all of his ways, right? Man, I don't know if you guys can feel it. I don't know if you guys can feel the results of this constant battle between God and Satan in the world. But all of us around the world, we are just kind of collectively, we are exhausted. Exhausted with the constant battle that is being waged between God and the devil. I think that we look at what's going on in the world, and I think figuratively speaking, we just walk around with this kind of emotional PTSD. We look at what's going on in the world, you know, and we just think, gosh, I'm just so over it. Do you feel that? Do you feel like sometimes that you're just like, man, I feel like I'm hanging on by a thread? I just see what is going on in the world, the way these two things are clashing. You know what? The reason why it feels that way, the reason why the battle feels so acute today, is because it's all almost over. It's almost over. And I'm telling you that whenever the Lord comes to take us home, that will not be the time for choosing sides. That will not be the time for you to choose a side. That happens before he comes. That's when you will find out, when you stand before him and you come before him with all of your wood, hay, and stubble, and you say, listen, but I did all these really productive things. And man, I made society a better place. And I was really unified with all of my brothers. And I really fought for this, and I stood against this. And man, I would speak out about this, and I would hold a placard up about this. And he puts the fire of his judgment to it, and it all disappears in an instant because it's not eternal. All that stuff, man, maybe it's important. I don't know. But what I do know about it is that it's temporary. It's not eternal. But are you doing the real stuff? Are you fighting the actual battle? Who was it that just led someone to the Lord last night? Who was that? You guys led someone to the Lord? Man, okay, that's what I'm talking about. How could your personal bullcrap political position, how does that match up with someone that is risen from the dead? How does that stand up against that? It's not eternal. It's temporary. And all of the harsh feeling, when you see someone walk in, you know, to Culver's and they don't have a mask on, and you just skits out because you're just like, what are they thinking, right? Okay, what you need to do is you need to pull it together, you need to smoke a joint, and you need to remember that is not the battle that you are fighting. That is not the battle that you are fighting. Now, if you have an extra mask, then you can give them one, okay? Because if, I don't care, you want people to wear a mask, then wear a mask. I don't care. If someone says, hey, I want you to wear a mask, I'm like, okay, I just put a mask on. Because I'm not going to fight against it either, because that's not the fight that we're on. Do you understand? It may be important, it may not be important. We find, does any of us know the truth about any of that crap anyway? None of us know what is going on, but we have a position that we fight from, which is a position of absolute truth upon God's word, which says that we need to share the gospel and we need to make disciples because Jesus is going to rapture his church out very soon. And those who do not get raptured out with the church are going to be left behind to endure 7 years of hell on earth before Christ comes back and has everybody stand before the judgment seat, or before the great white throne judgment, where they will be sentenced to their place in eternal fire. Now, we know that that's absolutely true. I think that we should get busy fighting the fight that we were meant to fight, because there's only two armies, there's only two sides, and there's only two positions, and there is a valley in between us where the battle is waged. What side are you on? What fight are you fighting? That's what I want to see this week. Now, I'm only going to ask you really to do one thing today. I would just ask you to come back. Can you do that? Just come back. We're going to come back tonight. We're going to do some testimony time. But on Monday, we're going to look and we're going to analyze exactly what it is that we're up against in this fight. We're going to see exactly what it is that we're up against in this fight as we analyze this. Today, the only thing I want you to really think about is, what side are you on? And are you fighting the right battle? And if you're not, then lay that stuff down and get engaged. Fight for the Lord our God. Fight for righteousness. Fight upon his word. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much for your word. And I just pray that this week you would help us to dig into this story. Help us to see the battle that we're supposed to be fighting. Help us to see what it is that we're really up against. Help us to be able to see how that we fight and how that we can have victory in this fight. Help us to see that, Lord. Help us today to lay down any imaginary ideas of neutrality in our life. Help us to lay down any fights that we're fighting that are not a part of this eternal war. Help us just to lay that stuff down. Help us to lay down any ideas of self-righteousness that our worth and our life is measured by how productive we are. And help us, Lord, to chase after righteousness. Help us learn, Lord, how to be honest. How to be godly. How to be loyal. How to be holy. How to be humble. Help us to chase after it with all of our heart and to stand against wickedness in our own life and everywhere we see it. Help us, Lord, this morning to realize what side we're on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.